We thank you so much, fathers, for being what you are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke 6:38. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to embark on a journey through your word. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity in my lifetime to have known you in my Savior and Redeemer, that my life will not pass until a part of God is revealed into my heart to where he's manifested in my life. Today, sir, as the ears of the listeners hear the word of God, may the ears be anointed to hear and may the lips be anointed to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke 6:38, this is a passage that we quote many times, but many of us don't realize the value of this particular verse. It says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." And notice how he says, "Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you made withal, it shall be measured to you again." And he spake a parable unto them, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is mature shall be as his master." This is a very interesting passage. Most of the time it's quoted at offering time. Well, they could apply for money. And I'm just going to be this bold to say this, that it's referring to what brings financial wealth to your life, as well as wealth in social and economic structure of all of society, is this particular verse right here. And notice it says, "Shall men give into your bosom?" Again, I want to reiterate some statements that I've made many times, is people want favor with other men, and they want God to show them that favor. But is there something in you that God can promote as favor in the eyes of somebody else? Mm-hmm. Well, we talk about the prosperity message, and we've been talking about that part of understanding what prosperity is based on. It's based on, number one, the fact that a person puts himself into a position to let the blessings of God flow into his life. And yet there's many scriptures that tell us how wealth really comes. But most of the teaching that we've had in the past is that wealth comes just by God having a calculator and you having seed to sow. And that is basically all forms of doctrine about prosperity or financial wealth are geared around those two concepts. If you got money, God's got a calculator. And that's where the doctrine of hundredfold return has come out of. It's predicated or based upon that concept. You'll get a hundredfold return on the very thing that you sow. And yet the Bible does not teach calculator returns. The Bible also is very clear that the treasure of a man's life is found in his heart, right, not his wallet. Right. And yet, many of us have been very discouraged because we seem to think we're not really being blessed until our wallet increases. But God's Word has more value to understanding what wealth really is than just centered around this thought that if you're sowing into God's kingdom, you're going to give a calculated return on your giving off of just some form of seed. Mm-hmm. And you know something? That's okay, but the problem is it gets your eyes off to what the focus of a real blessing is in your life. Right. A lot of people don't understand, but it gets you off the focus of what a real return on your investment in the kingdom of God is really all about. Right. Are you guys following me so far? Now notice it says, "Shall men give into your bosom?" And I thought it was very interesting. "Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over." Now, I want to take a look First of all, Deuteronomy 8:18. So if you will, turn there real quick like. Deuteronomy 8:18. You know, I never realized also that if the prosperity message is not delivered properly, you can also believe in prosperity, godly prosperity, in a prideful heart, not even know that you're in pride. Some people seem to think just because they're Christians and they're sowing natural seed into the kingdom of God, they somehow have an advantage over more people. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. What is that referring to? It means wealth can come to an unbeliever just like it can to a believer. The difference is one's got God as his banner over him, where the other one doesn't. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse 18. This is the one that's quoted so many times. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with thee, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. This is very interesting. God, we covered the fact that God said, prove me herewith if I will not pour you out a blessing. And we brought out that the term blessing here means benefit, favor. It's directly connected with the Hebrew word that literally says shalom, or that which brings you peace. So God not only brings you to a place where you're very well taken care of, but it has to be directly connected with peace, because if you're financially, I'm talking about financially set, how many of you know there is a peace that comes with that? Right. Well, God knows that. But money is not the way to happiness. The way to happiness is the living Father.
Right.
Our Father, our God. That's the way to happiness. And the thing about it is that if that's the way to happiness, he really is, then wealth will follow that. So that's why it's directly connected to shalom, which is peace. Now, I want us to look at some words here in Deuteronomy 8:18. For it says here, for it is he that giveth thee power. Power to get wealth. There's some very interesting words in these verses, these words right here in this verse. Number one, the word power literally is strength, vigor. This means the physical and intellectual capacity and determination. Determination. It refers to all kinds of social, political, and economic forces that will go to work on your behalf. You see, a lot of people don't, they say, it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. So if I sow this seed, I now have my power at work for me, because he's up there calculating it. But I'm going to tell you something. Power doesn't come from a calculator. And especially this kind of power, because this kind of power is literally saying that it is he that does something to you. You know, a lot of people seem to think that they can go through life and put God up there where they need God to bless their life, but is providing God is in line with their life. Now it says, it is he that giveth thee power. Now, the word power there, this word is not referring, are you ready? This word is not referring to what's going to happen to you. This word is referring to what God will do in you.
Amen.
Not what God will do for you, but what God will do in you. In you. When you follow God, guess what? You'll have favor with man. Because when you follow God, He's going to do something for you. What's He going to do? He's going to get you into a place where your social activity of life is carte blanche. He'll also put you into a place where there's a political strength that will come with your favor that you have with the Father. And guess what? The economic structure will bow down its knees to God's desire for your life. That's good news. Hallelujah. But if you think that by giving into the church, that it's going to require you to receive anything from God, guess what? You've got your eyes on the wrong place altogether. Because the church, the first fruits of your giving is where God then has a strength that you're giving Him to put into you.
Right.
Are you following what I'm saying? The first, you know, somebody says, if you know where to invest, you'll get a return on your investment. And you know what? A lot of wealthy people never look at investing into the kingdom of God as their greatest asset for the return that they can possibly have. Unless it comes back, unless the church can bring it back on a promise that you'll get better houses and better cars and bigger, you know, bigger houses and better cars and all this and that. If the church can promise you that, well, why not give to the church? But what about the spiritual side of the investment that God puts into your life in the form of leadership to see to it that you have strength in Christ to perform socially, politically, and economically? I'm going to tell you something. Society has proven itself, the social part of our life has proven itself that when men and women are weird and self-centered, you don't like being around those type of people. And those type of people will not bring prosperity to your life. They won't bring true prosperity to your life. Why? Because their gain is off of your profit, your labor, your wealth. We're looking at some scriptures. It'll just blow you away on that line. Now, a lot of people have strength within themselves. Are you following me? A lot of people have natural strength within themselves. Didn't even come from God. And yet God wants to promote that in them, but their social activity, their social appearance in life so stinks that even if the gift's in them, it's hid. Why? Because men won't recognize that because it will be covered over by that which stinketh. I was just as guilty as the others on my job, but my secular work, my vocation at that time, God used the secular work. I fellowshipped with several men on the job that did nothing but tear their boss apart. The boss heard about it and wanted to know why they never got any raises. I heard one of the owners of National Sign Company tell one of his leaders, if he's concerned about why he didn't give his raise, then ask him why he said this. You know, there's always the gossipers, even on secular jobs, that information gets back to the leader, and the leader does not want to promote them. Why? Because they have a social problem. Are you following me? But then you hear about those that are supportive of you, and they go the extra mile. That gets back to the boss. And they want to know why that guy got a raise and that one didn't. Because one is socially powerful. God's in their heart working socially over the one who deserves for all their sacrifice. Listen, if your sacrifice comes with a price, forget it. God won't promote you.
True.
You do it because God's in your heart doing it. And for no other reason. And if you can't pick that up, you'll never succeed. The boss will overlook you every time, go to somebody else that just doesn't really seem to be looking for promotion, but wants to see to it that the job is successful, because then he will inherit that success. Mm-hmm. And that's some of your greatest employees that I know of. Yes. Yep. They protect their payroll, their paycheck. But the ones who work
for a dollar amount are the ones that never really succeed in life. Right. Economically, they're a shambles. Everything is covered up through their unrighteousness. You see. Now, I'm not talking about just church thing. I'm talking about your job, where you're at. You want a different job? You want more pay? You want more money? Hey, be what God can put in you to be. And His Word guarantees it, you will prosper.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You can't hang around God and not prosper. Because
right.
God, He's wealth.
Yep.
Now, I like this. It says, "For it is He that giveth the power, the strength, the vigor, physically." You know how many people lose money every year? For their home, their church and everything. You know how many people do it because of a physical illness?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if you're physically impaired, God's wisdom will even transcend your physical impairment and see to it that you've got sufficient wisdom to bypass that so you'll still succeed.
Yeah.
Because when you hang around the wisdom of God, you will succeed. Otherwise, what you're going to have to do is you're just going to have to come down to the fact that God just is ticked off at you and He just don't like you. That's the only other avenue you can come to, because some people just can't figure out why they're never blessed. Well, because they have a social problem, they have a political problem, and they have an economic problem. They also have this thing called... I just don't have what it takes to succeed. Are you born again? Do you have God on the inside of you? Yeah. Well, then let God out of you and you'll succeed. Because I'll tell you what, somebody says, "Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We forget who strengthens me.
Right.
A lot of us do it in our own strength. Now, let's look at this word. We looked at the word power. Let's look at this word to get. This is an important root word. It means to work, to labor, to toil, to make, to create, to construct, to build, to accomplish, to acquire, to earn, to constitute, to keep, to fulfill, to happen, to handle. Woo! To get. It is He that giveth the power to get wealth.
Right.
See, we look at the word power and we look at the word wealth and we forget to get.
Yeah.
You see. And what He's saying here is that when He gives the power to get wealth, this is a very interesting word. It literally means that which is necessary for your labor, for your effort, what is necessary for you to create with, to have creativity with. Are you following me? The necessary wisdom for you to handle anything that comes your way. I like this word wealth. We look at this word wealth as something that God has promised us in the by and by. The word wealth here, the way it's used in this verse, literally means that which you will end up possessing or have in hand. It's termed ability, which literally means influence. What a person possesses as substance. So literally, when you take a look at this verse, He's literally saying, it is God that's going to give you the adequate strength socially, economically, politically. Something's going to happen on the inside of you to where you will get to the wealth, and that wealth will be your ability or your substance.
Amen.
See, a lot of us can't acclimate our natural way of thinking because our God is not a supernatural God. You're serving a supernatural being. You're not serving men. You're serving God. That's why have you ever noticed that when it's connected to servants, be obedient to your masters. Masters, treat your servants right. For in so doing, you're doing it as unto the Lord. You know, we can't ever do anything in our natural self when we do anything for anybody except be God at work in our heart doing it.
Amen. Yeah.
Or you get this what's fair and unfair mentality. I've been there. And it don't work. It gives you a nasty attitude that you never can get out of. See, our whole life has to come to the resolution that if I expect to accomplish anything, God is my rewarder, not man, and I'm doing it for the result of Him. And that's why he's saying here, it is God that gives you power, the influence, or the ability, or the substance that you need. But the key word is to get. To get. And a lot of us, we seem to think, because we do something for God to take notice so that He'll favor me, then what you're doing is you're doing as works before the Lord to impress Him to bless you. Rather than doing it simply because God got into the inside of your heart in such a way that you love to do it because you love Him. And boy, that kind of influence politically and socially and economically will bring you wealth in the dividends of this world. It's a natural thing that when you're working with people and you have, you'll notice you'll always have those that are favored on the job and you'll have those that are not favored on the job. Now, I'm not talking about success on a job. You can have success on a job but not be favored by all your employees because they look at you, and the reason you're politically where you're at is because you're nothing but a tyrant and a squeaker and a gossiper and a skinny get into the affairs of other people, and you're where you're at because you politically have maneuvered everybody to bless your life. And you know what? The workers look at you like, I hate that guy. I don't even want to be around him. Then you have those that in the natural, it doesn't seem like they're succeeding, but you'll enjoy being around them because they don't have a beef with nobody. They keep their mouth shut. They do their job. But yet the bosses do take notice of that. They do take notice. Why? Because there are people on the job, believe it or not, that have good attitudes, a good mentality about things. Now, we should have that automatically because we are believers and we are in fellowship with God. But there are some even unbelievers that are naturally that way. That, man, they just have a good nature about them. They always think ahead to do something for somebody else. Man, you just love being around them because they help lighten your load. You know what I mean? And they're not looking to get any return out of it, but they do get a return. God can put favor on that person. I can see a boss go, you know, his year-end raises and stuff. Hey, have you considered my servant? You don't think bosses can hear it? Well, my boss ain't say, hey, he can hear it. Because God can put those thoughts in the mind of a man if those thoughts are coming out of the person God wants to favor. Did you know that? God will put thoughts into the unbeliever's mind towards you. Have you considered my servant? You know, God's proud of those who love Him. But God's not always happy with what they do. Now, turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we're going to be closing here. Ecclesiastes, we don't have a service tonight, so we can go a little longer. Can that be all right with you guys? Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Now, I'm telling you how you can get wealth. You know, in Proverbs 18, verse 16, it said that a man's gift will take him before great men. That's a very interesting verse when you break it down in the Hebrew, especially the word gift. A lot of people don't understand what that word means. The word gift literally means what has been given to someone through the means of obtaining some kind of favor. In other words, if a man's life has been gifted, that gifting in his life will bring him before great men. Mm-hmm. Did you know that's what that word meant, gift? Now, this is a very interesting word because this word gift literally means it can be used negatively as well as positively. It literally means of one creating problems. So even a problem person will be brought before great men. Why? By the gift that's residing in him to be a problem. The word gift literally means that which is deposited into an individual's life. What has happened to them? You know, how many times you've heard the testimony of men and women that literally have been, so to speak, had life literally dump on them, so to speak. You'll find that the reason life is being dumped on them because they feel like a dump in their own heart. That's why children at a very young age, when they're molested or something happens to them, that sets a mindset in them, possibly for the rest of their life, if God doesn't come into their heart and life and intervene to change the way they think about themselves. They grow up, go into prostitution, because that's all they feel like, as a prostitute. And so, prostitution, that gets dumped on their life. Are you following me? It just life takes them on this conveyor belt, and at the end, whatever's dumped off on the end, that's the way some people think. I'll tell you what, God hasn't designed for you to be a gift to be dumped on into this world. God wants to get into your heart so that He can deposit a good gift in your life to bring you before good men. Now, the word bringeth is a very interesting word in that verse in Proverbs 18:16. The word bringeth is a very interesting word. This is a Hebrew word that's always acquainted with that which is governed by God. Turn over to Proverbs 18. Before we go to Ecclesiastes. Proverbs is before Ecclesiastes. Proverbs 18. And look at this, verse 16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. You know why? You can take this verse and translate it. The great men are good men because of the word bringeth. It's referring to these great men as godly men. Well, how can you evaluate? Because of the word bringeth. This word bringeth is always referring, in the Hebrew, it always refers to that which guides or leads. It's a verb that is used of God's governing a man's heart. This word is always used, meaning that God is governing this man's heart. So really it says a man's gift will bringeth him before great men. Literally, this verse is literally saying, as a result of God depositing into his life a gift that other men need, because God can lead and guide him to the right people in his life to be promoted. Some people, because they don't hear the Word of God, they don't govern their life or structuring it by God, God's not leading and guiding them, and what happens is their whole life becomes by chance more than on purpose. God's designed you to be on purpose in your life, not by chance. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, where I had you turn, let's go back to there, and we're going to be closing on this, believe it or not. We don't have service tonight, so you can go a little longer, can't you? Amen. Okay, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I want us to read something that's very important. Let's go with verse 17. Ecclesiastes 2:17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I have taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is a great evil. For what man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he saith, I have labored under the sun, for all his days are sorrows and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night, this also is vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, now ready, that it was from the hand of God. Isn't that interesting? Now notice this. For who can eat, or who else can hasten thereunto more than I? For God, boy, Solomon was talking from experience. Some of you know, he had wealth.
Oh, yeah.
Notice this. For God giveth to a man that is good, and in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of the spirit. You know what? We have in prosperity teaching today, it is the wealth of the winner is sowed up for the just. And this verse is telling us God doesn't do that. He doesn't take the labor of another man to bless the righteous. Are you following me? That is not the purpose of God. Are you following me? Because why would the writer say this also is vexation of spirit? Do you guys get what I'm saying here? Brains might be locking up a little bit here. But what he's saying is that's not of God. But did you notice there was one thing that was said that was not vexation of God or vanity? It is good that a man enjoys his labor, that he has joy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
But notice it says, because he's under the hand of the Lord. Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
Then what is he saying here? Well, Solomon was not expressing that life should be believed to live its fullest, and then when it's over, it's over. That's not where Solomon was coming. But rather, Solomon was suggesting that man should keep the pleasures that he enjoys in his life in perspective with his responsibility to God. That's where Solomon's coming from, in his perspective of responsibility to God. Somebody told me, how do you know that God called them to do what they're doing? Because they're no longer in church. Well, they love the Lord. No, they're not. They're not in church. Well, why? Because they let the excuse that God called them to go and make money for the kingdom at the expense of their spirituality. You know, I asked the Lord one time, I said, well, where does that leave these people that lose their spirituality over their jobs? Does that mean that you didn't call them? Because I know you wouldn't ask them to go make money at the expense of their spirituality. So did you call them? And God said, no, I didn't call them. The devil called them. And I said, you mean the devil literally called? He says, yes, the devil spoke to their heart and told them how they can make money for the kingdom of God. Because the issue of their spirituality was already lodged in their heart. You know, a lot of us, we kick back because we're so sharp. We know the devil. I mean, we know everything about the devil. Teach me about the devil. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to teach you about your weaknesses before you'll understand how the devil can work against you.
Right.
Somebody shared something. Somebody that left our church had shared the thing that they, one of the reasons they left is I never taught them how to combat the devil.
I don't know a message that I've ever preached that didn't teach you how to combat the devil.
Right.
The problem is what they're doing is they want me to teach how to cast a demon out of somebody rather than how to keep the demons from influencing the person that needs the deliverance. You know it's easy for every one of us to remove a demon out of a person? That doesn't take all that much effort to do that. But I'm telling you, it takes a great effort to instruct that person to keep the influence of the devil out of them. That's the greater work. That's the harder chore. So you see, here, the writer is not promoting that life should be just lived to its fullest with no responsibility. He's not saying that. He's saying life should be lived to its fullest with the blessings of God and the perspective of God still attached to your life.
Amen. Yep.
You can tell when God has called somebody to make money for the kingdom of God. Why? They're out there making money for the kingdom of God, still turned on to God, and you see him in church, you see him in connection with believers, you see him fellowshipping with people, you see him rubbing elbows, you see him turned on to God. You can't get around without hearing about the Word of God. And then you say, how is it that you've got so much wealth? Oh, wealth, that thing, that's a tool. That goes to God. I don't even want to talk about it. Let's talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
I met a guy like that.
Yep.
He's a multimillionaire. I met him in the service. I didn't expect to meet him there. And I sat down. And he was so on fire. And he says, I got my jet ready for me. He says, I got to have this explained to you before I get on my... And I said, jet ready? What do you mean jet ready? He says, they over here in the field, over here, this is over in Hillsboro, Oregon. He said, I got my plane over there. He says, and they got to fly me off to this other business meeting. But I says, well, how are you conducting business? He says, oh, God tells me all the time what to do and what not to do. He says, but I want to get back to this. What did you mean about this, you know? And I says, well, oh, and so I started explaining. He said, oh, okay, I got it. Oh, praise God, I got it. And I says, boy, you know, you seem to be turned on to God. He says, well, I got to be turned on to God. Well, I'm doing what he told me to do. And he said, that's all I'm doing. I said, well, what if you lost it all today? He says, I can't. Why? He said, I got too much wisdom from God in me to lose any of it.
Right. Amen.
He's turned on to God. I says, it must be great. You probably fly wherever revival is. He says, what do you mean fly wherever revival is? You know, I was just trying to be nice to him. He says, I just take revival with me.
That's right. Amen.
He's turned on to God.
Yeah.
Of course, what he put in the offering proved that. At the church where he was at.
Mm-hmm.
That proved that. So many people want to do so much for God financially. But listen, when you go into the arena of entrepreneurship, there are some specific things, some specific attributes that have got to be known in your life before you qualify. One of them is you have to be spiritually and socially and economically and politically sound with the Lord. When people come to me and tell them God's doing something, I see a lack in their spirituality. I know God isn't telling them. Why? Because the first thing God wants is your heart. That's the first thing He wants. The second thing, He wants you to be sociable. Why? Because these are the principles by which God blesses your life with. Oh. If. See to it, if I will not pour you a blessing out on your life. And then God, right after that, a few verses, He says, and I'll rebuke the devourer for you. Some of us don't know how to get the devil out of our life for the blessings to flow. Why? Because the devil does more to destroy the fruits of our labor than anything else. My son, I like what Tim does. Gets up at 5 every morning. Got to hear from God. You know, I used to get up at 5 in the morning to hear from God and found out I still put my ear to people rather than what God had told me when I got up in the morning. You know, the devil, you'll hear from God And listen, during the day, the devil will come back and speak into your life by the fowls of the air. You got to be so strong with him that you don't listen to the fowls of the air. You got to stay on course with what God spoke to you in the morning. Did you guys get something here?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Stand up, everybody. Sorry to go a little long. But we don't have a service tonight, and it'll give you time to go home and meditate on what was said. Hallelujah. But these are some of the things that are necessary for our fellowship. But I want to give you some scriptures. Matter of fact, you better sit down again so you can write this down. I want to give you some scriptures, and I want you to go home and study them. Okay? Would that be all right with you guys? Got a pencil and paper? Okay. And then next week, we're going to hand out sheets of paper, and we want you to put on there yes or no whether you read them or not. No, I'm just kidding. But I want you to read Deuteronomy 8:18, Proverbs 18:16. And here's one that, of course, I want you to read Ecclesiastes 2:17 through 26. And you know, a lot of times people don't put much stock in the book of Ecclesiastes because they believe that Solomon was out of fellowship. But Solomon was speaking from experience. He had more women pull him away from God in his lifetime than anything else. And he knows what it means to have wealth without God. Here's one that I really want you to really read. This is a real powerful one. Now, the reason I'm having you read this is more or less from the King James translation. You might have another translation, but the translations we got floating out there today, I don't know how it's going to turn out. But it's Psalms 49, verses 1 through 20. Psalms 49, verses 1 through 20. This is one of the psalms that God had given me to really pay close attention to because it's packed with so much wisdom. Psalms 49, actually the whole psalm. Literally, he talks about people trusting in money and in wealth without God. He talks about how that everything that's within the man, everything that I taught today, that everything that's within the man is what guides a man's life. That's what he's all about. And if it's not guided by God, it's just a bunch of folly. He goes in to say, even the labor that you labor with will go to another man that might be a dummy and won't even use your money for what it's for. You know, I heard about the Hilton, Mr. Hilton dying and leaving his wealth to these two young girls. You know, you take right away, that wealth's going to go to waste. It's the way he set his will up. They cannot govern their money until certain accomplishments come into play as they grow up. He was a smart man. He decided, if I'm going to leave my wealth to these two blonde-head cuties, I better have some rule over their life. Because the younger you are, the less responsible you are in your thinking. Why? Because the younger you are, the more you have arrived. And you take a businessman like Mr. Hilton, and he go and take all his wisdom and his knowledge and everything and just leave it in this natural realm for two idiots to take over. You ain't going to find a man who'll do that. He left everything to these two girls, but they are so loaded with stipulations, they don't know how to get out of the straitjacket to spend it until a certain age of accountability. I heard there are a lot of wealthy men that actually have that set up. Bill Gates is another one. He has things set up for his children so well that his money is not going to go to spoil. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. Listen. In this Psalms, it's very interesting because it clearly declares that if you're not a man who has given his life to God,
then everything that you've labored in this world anyway comes to naught, even though you have it to leave. Because everything in life, somebody said they were successful in life, but they didn't know the Lord. No, they wasn't really knowledgeable of the Lord. He says then everything that they accomplished is folly. Because when he dies, it goes to the grave. Everything about that man goes to the grave. When it goes to the grave, Psalms 49 says that's where it ends. Why? Because beyond that, if it isn't in God, it will not go on for eternity. That's why the Lord told me the thing that grieved him more than anything else is for many believers coming into heaven impoverished, with no reward. Nothing. Paul said, I don't want to enter into heaven like that. He says, I want to enter into with an abundance. You know, broad is a way to destruction. Anybody can take the path of destruction. I mean, you don't even need to be half of an idiot and you'd still find destruction. If you even had 50% of your brain capacity, it doesn't matter. That 50% won't even find it neither. But why? Because broad is the way to destruction. But I'll tell you what, God's way is very narrow. God's truth is very straight and exact. And again, if you don't have the mind of God handling your money, then the devil will. And I got news for you. When you give money to the devil, you're giving it to a master craftsman that had pride enter into his heart because of money. The devil understands prosperity more than anyone on this planet Earth until God gets into their heart.
Right.
Why? If you had anything to say about the devil, he fell because, somebody said he fell because of pride. He fell by reason of how the pride came, through the multitude of his wealth. Well, did you guys get something tonight? And I didn't preach a message here for you to go out and think that being impoverished or poverty is also the mind of God. It isn't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand up, everybody. Father, we're now going to close our service here. And Father, as I've spoken to your people here today, there would be anybody here that does not have the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and life and would like to give their life to the Lord, come into salvation, Father, we're willing to pray for them and to lead them into the ultimate work, which is the greater work called salvation. Father, we want to see them come into the kingdom. And Father, if there be anybody here that has been backslid, have allowed money or allowed the cares of this world to take them out of fellowship with you, Father, we want to pray for them and bring them back into full fellowship with you. And Father, if there be anybody here that hasn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we want to lay hands on them and see to it they are baptized. And last, Father, if there's anybody here that needs physical healing, we want to be able to lay hands on them and watch them recover. That anointing is here that John Duclos expressed in Mongolia. John Duclos said to me personally in my office, Pastor, I believe the anointing is here because what I've learned here. And Father, I believe that all of us, if we were to travel overseas, we would find there's more power in our little finger than what we give our whole body credit for. Hallelujah. We just haven't been in that place where we also could be bold enough to take a hold of these things. And we thank you that there is the power of God residing. It's not to come, it's here. Hallelujah. In the hearts and lives of everyone here. Father, and we know that, Father, when we lay hands on the sick, they will recover if their heart is right with you, if they believe in faith to receive. So with that said, for any one of those areas, if you feel led to come up, when we dismiss the service, we want you to come up here, and some of my altar workers, personal work, stand ready. Hallelujah. I might have you come up and pray. And for the rest of you, you can go ahead and go. You're dismissed. Those of you that are here for the first time would like to come up to the hospital.